This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, we just didn't play our best ball today. We kind of got away with one in some ways, but that's what good teams do. You know, you don't play your best and you find a way in the fourth quarter to get a stop on defense, to get a first down on offense, to make those catches Josh made and be able to score on that drive, that long drive we had. So that's what we're starting to become now, and it's a good feeling.
I have trust in KT. He missed a lot of training camp. Obviously, he wanted to play and fought rehab hard so he could play. And stuff's not always going to go your way. Obviously, he would have wanted to catch a few of those in the game, but I've trusted that he's going to be that guy that I go to in those crucial moments, and he's going to make the catch and win us some seasons like he did last year. So we're going to continue to work him in, get him more and more reps, and I'm sure that those drops will kind of disappear.
Last one, Blair.
What's the message it needs to come out of that locker room?
Got to be better.
Is he really sure the drops are going to go away? Kelsey Nicole Nelson, welcome.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Ladies First Fridays. The NFL season has kicked off. Everyone was excited. And we got a great game last night. We got the Super Bowl champions versus the up-and-coming Detroit Lions. And Detroit went into Arrowhead, and they stole one. They got one. And listen, you know, I'm not going to be petty right now because I got to tell you, I very much enjoyed the Chiefs losing. I very much enjoyed Patrick Mahomes losing. He's great, but like, you beat my Eagles and I'm all about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. So I'm here for every Chiefs and Pat Mahomes loss. And so I was thrilled. I was happy. But I know that, you know, Chiefs Kingdom probably was not. I know Chiefs fans probably were not. And there was a lot of blame. There was a lot of blame being put on KT. But before we dig into the Chiefs, let's go back to who actually won the game. The Lions, right? And I liked what I was hearing from Jared Goff. It was giving leader, Kelsey, right? Like, I liked the disposition. Like, he wasn't, like, overhype. He was very calm. You know, he's like, we didn't do our best, but we found a way to win. That's what good teams do. He's saying the right things. He's right. You know, so shout out to Detroit for going in and getting this win and for having their fan base out there. Like, there are a lot of Detroit fans in the building.
Yeah. And that's not easy to do, Ned, as we know, in Arrowhead. You know, we were all looking forward to this game. We know how hard it is to go in to Kansas City and win. And let's remember, Nat, this is a Kansas City Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes at the helm, who does not lose opening games. So for the Detroit Lions to go in and do that, I mean, I said it, Lion fans, please rejoice. This is your time. This is your moment. I feel like the Detroit Lions fan base has been waiting a long, long time, Natalie, to be taken seriously, for people to put some respect on their name, and to do this against a team that we saw raise their Super Bowl banner, right? A team that we just saw go on and win yet another ring. I was just so happy for this team, you know, and Jared Goff, we followed his story. So I love seeing him at the podium and just knowing what he's been through. Talk about a way to start a season. And like you said, the fans being there, I know they had fun walking back into the parking lot. So all in all, look, I know it's the Kansas City Chiefs and I'm not hitting the worry button this early. Like, I know we're going to talk about the pieces that they didn't have. But for Detroit, let me say, watch out for the Detroit Lions. This is no longer a team you see on the schedule and automatically can put a W. This is going to be a team that's going to make you fight. I mean, you can talk about it on both sides of the football. You know, on offense, obviously, got the job done. You probably want to see some bigger numbers, but on defense as well, as you see right there, putting pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and that is not easy to do. It actually makes me question some of the tackles for Kansas City on the offensive line. But all in all, man, I am happy for Detroit. They should do a parade in Detroit today. Detroit mayor, like, this was that impressive. And I think all in all, it's just great to see Lions fans happy, Nat. That is not something that you see every day. So highly enjoyed the game. I think this was a perfect start to the NFL season. I think we wanted that upset, you know, and the underdogs winning and Kansas City being put on notice just a little bit to see. They better get some things right, Natalie, with some of their missing pieces. I think if Kansas City wants to get back to hopefully going to Vegas this year, if they hope to get back to the Super Bowl.
Well, you mentioned Pat Mahomes' streak of not losing games to open the season, but you know what streak remained alive? That is Jared Goff being undefeated.
No, INT. Oh, I love that. I thought you were going to talk about the INTs for Jared Goff, because he has a couple streaks going on, Natalie.
I mean, I'm just trying to understand, is he Pat Mahomes' kryptonite? Like, why can't Patrick Mahomes beat Jared Goff? Maybe that's what he needs to see in the Super Bowl, kind of like with Eli and Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady just cannot beat Eli.
It's always one. There's always one. It's always that one person that you can't get over the hump. I mean, that makes it that much better. Again, because going into this game, right, I mean, you think about it, maybe when this game was first put on the schedule, maybe not many people excited, right? And this is before we knew all the things happening with Kansas City. But all in all now, I mean, everybody's talking about the Lions. Natalie, I saw He Who Is Him trending with Jared Goff's name. I mean, that does not happen every single day. And this Lions team, again, people taking them seriously and really wondering, how far can this team go? And I remember the end of last season, you know, we saw the Lions had something, but, you know, I think Dan Campbell talked about it. You know, they were able to build upon what they had last season, the resilience he talked about, you know, of this team. And there's something there. There is something there. And I think that makes us, you know, all that more excited to watch the Lions this season.
No, for sure. They closed the season really strong. And like the Lions are actually like the official, unofficial, I don't know, team of a brother from another, the Michaels
They love the Lions.
They love the Lions. So, yeah, I mean, like, shout out to them. You know, look, let's talk about the Chiefs, because I'm not going to do this asterisk thing that people are trying to say and, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, the Lions won and I'm giving them their credit. But when you talk about just, you know, because a lot of people, they were still, the Chiefs were still the heavy favorites going into the game, right? And a lot of it, and I get it, and it's well-deserved, is just Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, people are just like, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes. Like, he can do it. And he almost did it. He almost did it. And like early in the game, he had us believing, but like his receivers really let him down, you know? And you know, poor KT, you know, like.
Yeah. Don't check your mentions, Kadarius Toney, today.
No.
They are not friendly. They are not friendly at all.
And I mean, it was just like drop after drop, after drop, after drop, like, come on. And you know, like, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the leader who he is. We know that. So he's going to say he's standing by his guy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, you know, like you saw, there was one of the drops. I can't remember which one it was. And he was just like, you know, like you can just see, like, he's like.
Frustration.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was the pick six, which is frustrating because, like, Patrick really shouldn't get a pick six on that, but he is, right?
Because, and that was the game changer to me, Nat. When that happened, that was the momentum swing to me right there. And you could just tell it was a different team, I felt like, after that. That had to try to get back into this game, which obviously they weren't able to. This is basically, Nat, I think the word we can talk about for Kansas City, this was uncharacteristic of them. I mean, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, right? If you have, you know, Patrick Mahomes throwing to 12 different people, you know, and nobody really able to get, you know, anything really going. I mean, I think, why do we love watching the Kansas City Chiefs, Nat? It's because they're like football poetry, right? They're fluid. They're in rhythm, like when they're playing well, you know, and playing together. But yesterday we didn't see that, you know, and like you said, I'm not putting an asterisk. Like, guys, Patrick Mahomes said it, guys have to step up, you know, and that happens. It's football. I mean, if you cover the sport, you know how often injuries happen, but great teams are able to excel through those injuries, you know, and people who aren't there. So all in all, yeah, it's a win for Lions. Do not discredit that. But also I think for the Chiefs, they get to go back to the drawing board and obviously make some needed adjustments and changes that they really want to go back and defend the Super Bowl title, Nat, right? I mean, again, not a horrible game from the Chiefs. I'm not going to destroy Patrick Mahomes. I mean, yes, he had the interception. You know, all in all, obviously, you can say not fully his fault, but, you know, it is what it is. And Kansas City, again, you can't just easily write them to go into the postseason right now, because, again, I think some of their weaknesses got exposed. And just the reliance on Travis Kelce. We know how good he is. I think about how different he is on the field. I mean, we praise Travis Kelce, that why he's able to run these routes that for some reason defenses aren't able to figure out. Like, every game, you're like, how in the world has a defense not figured out how to block Travis Kelce? How is he always finding a way to get open when we know how good he is? Right. And yesterday, the receivers weren't able, you know, to do that, I think, for Patrick Mahomes, making Patrick Mahomes' job that much harder, even though, as you said, he is great. He is a Houdini. But all in all, even his magic was not enough to escape the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and I mean, look, those were catches that KT should have made and could have.
Yeah.
But we know, we all know that Travis Kelce is Patrick Mahomes' safety blanket, right?
Oh, for sure.
And so, you know, before the game, it was like, oh, he might play. And, you know, you had his brother kind of playing doctor telling us, oh, all these things he could maybe do and he might make it. But he tested it before the game and, like, it just wasn't going to happen. Now you're seeing reports that he's likely to play next week. I tweeted that right after the game. Oh, I'm sorry. I posted that right after the game on X, formerly known as Twitter.
On X now.
But yeah, you know, and I just think that, I don't know, like, oh, Michael Smith.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, ladies. Hey, how y'all doing? Thanks for having me. Love the show. Love you guys' work. Appreciate you having me on. How's everything?
Oh, good. Fantastic. Appreciate you joining us. Yeah, I mean, I figured you'd want to, since the Detroit Lions is the brother from another team, the team of brother from another.
One of them, yeah, one of them.
We've got quite a few. Yeah, okay, but I was surprised because yesterday you wasn't really talking that much about the Lions, and then they won. So I was wondering how you felt about it.
Well, I had them winning last night. I just didn't get to it. We ended up talking about more macro topics, Caleb Williams, so on and so forth. You know, Chris Jones and his holdout and this, that, and the third. So we really never really got inside the game. And we had to make predictions. We're contractually obligated to make predictions.
I hear you.
Check out yesterday's episode.
So you thought they were going to win?
But I did think they would win because you don't miss. The Kansas City Chiefs are not deep enough across the board to withstand the loss of both Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. You know, that's your second best player on offense, your best player on defense. Both of them have a chance at Canton one day. You know, Travis Kelce is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Chris Jones, if he keeps it up, he could end up there as well. So I thought Detroit would win. And to me, it's like, look, Detroit's the story full stop. Because I can't tell you who won or lost week one's games last year. They don't give out trophies for week one. And nor do they eliminate you after week one. You know, I know who won a Super Bowl last year was Kansas City. I know who's been in a couple of them the last few years, and that's Kansas City. Three of them, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not worried about the Chiefs. I think it's a lesson for them where they need to recognize what it takes to execute without Travis Kelce, without Eric Bieniemy. I don't know if that name has come up so far in the show. Travis Kelce was not the only key figure from Kansas City's recent run of success missing last night. That guy is in Kelce's neck of the woods, our Kelce's neck of the woods. Okay, and that's Eric Bieniemy. All right, so let's not sleep on that. So there's some adjustments that need to be made, but we know it's a long season, so I'm not worried about Kansas City. We don't have to talk about Kansas City. They're going to be there at the end. To me, it's all about Detroit because and there are no qualifiers. There are no asterisks affixed to this victory because there are no excuse in sports, especially in professional football. And if Detroit had shit the bed, if Detroit had done Detroit things last night, plenty of people would have been like, oh, same old Lions, all the hype, all the noise, all the talk, and look what we get. No, they went in there and they won the kinds of games that they typically have not won in their history, or more specifically in their recent history, and that's a close one-point win on the road. That's not Detroit Lions. That's not their DNA. It might be the new Detroit Lions DNA, and to me, that's the story. Look, they could miss the playoffs this year. You know, we all know not to overreact after one game. However, there's being a prisoner in the moment, and then there's just embracing the moment. And I root for good stories, and the Lions are a good story, and good for them.
But I'm curious. I'm curious, Kelce. What, you know, Mike just mentioned that, you know, like, not worried about the Chiefs. But at what point do you start to worry about the Chiefs? Like, okay, so Travis Kelce may come back, but, like, a bone bruise is nothing to play with, you know? So we don't know how he's going to look. But then they still haven't worked out the situation with Chris Jones. So at what point can you start to worry about them? Or because they have Patrick Mahomes, you just don't worry?
Can I just say first, the best moment of the game had to be watching Chris Jones watch his team from a suite up high. And you just be like, come on, Chris. Like, we know you're holding out and we know you wanted to support the team. But, like, I just thought that was the best shot of the entire game. Talk about a way to make sure people know you're serious about getting your money. But, you know, I think Michael Smith hit on it. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs, if there is any team I'm not worried about, and as you talked about, you know, Jason Kelce has been talking about this, Travis Kelce is going to find a way back on that football field. He is, you know, no matter what. And I know they were trying to play safety with them the first game, which a lot of teams do. And they probably looked at it the Lions game. The Chiefs probably really looked at this as a game. They didn't want to lose, of course, but, you know, this is a game that keep Travis Kelce safe. If we lose, okay, we can move on. And we know the chemistry that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce both have. But all that to say, I mean, I think Travis Kelce is going to work his way back. We don't know a matter. I'm not even saying like it's a matter of when, because it's going to be sooner than later. I mean, he has 10 days, right, between last night and the upcoming game. So you talk about a bone bruise. It's different for different players. But all in all to say, he will be back on the football field. I think Patrick Mahomes being the leader that he is, you talked about the leader that Jared Goff is, he's going to make sure that someone steps up. And Chris Jones, he's going to get tired of sitting in the suites after a while. He's going to want to be back on that football field. So eventually they're going to have to figure that out, getting him back there. I mean, we're talking about two all pros missing, right? And Travis Kelce and Chris Jones from that football team. So obviously two great players on that field. So all in all, I'm not hitting the Chiefs worry button anytime soon. I think we did this at the beginning of last season, and look where Kansas City ended up. We ended up watching them in the Super Bowl. So I think you can't worry too fast, too far. A lot of my good friends that cover the Kansas City Chiefs team, they're saying, hey, look, we didn't like that game, but look, they're already packing their bags and booking their trip still for Vegas, Natalie, because this is the Chiefs at the end of the day.
I'll tell you, Natalie, to answer your question, here's what I worry about the Chiefs. If they miss the playoffs. If the playoffs start and the Kansas City Chiefs are not in it, that's when I worry about the Chiefs. If they're in the playoffs,
though,
even as a wild card. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, they're going to be there at the end. I would worry if for some reason they're not in the tournament. If they're not in the dance, that's when I would worry. Even if they're in it, whether it says division champs or a wild card, well, it's going to be division champs because they rule the AFC West. Whether they got home field or not, if they're in the playoffs, they got a shot to win the whole thing. So I'll worry in December, if at all. In the meantime, I'm old enough to remember a couple of years ago, hell, maybe it was last year, to your point, Kelce, it's like we've pushed the panic button prematurely on Kansas City before. I know every year is different, but we pushed the panic button prematurely only for them to figure it out and go on a run. The Chris Jones thing is a concern in general. I like to think that they would get a deal done at some point. These things could happen in an instant. If he's not there, I was actually encouraged by what I saw from the defense last night. I mean, at the end of the day, they lost by one, and Detroit scored 14 points on offense. You know, right. I mean, one of Detroit's touchdowns came, of course, from the Kadarius Toney drop. I'm not even going to call it a Patrick Mahomes pick. We need to change the rules. We need to figure out a way to not credit those interceptions to quarterbacks
that
to throw it right at you. You know what I mean? But, no, I mean, like, Kansas City, we're a long way from worrying about Kansas City, way from worrying about them. They tend to figure things out. Those receivers do have to grow up. I like to see more Justin Ross. I'd also, and they may make a move for all we know. They may end up making a move in season to get a disgruntled receiver from somewhere else. Sure. Who knows what happens? Like, it's such a long season and a long journey. But people do need to be worried about Detroit and worried about them in the Tupac and Juice way. Like, that's the team you need to be worried about.
Okay. All right. Well, look, it wasn't all about last night's game, because there was some other news that broke. Joey B finally got his bag. The contract came in. And it came in like right before the game. So it was like, oh, I got, you know, the news kind of was in the middle of the game. But there you go. Highest paid quarterback in NFL history, $275 million. I think like $219 million is guaranteed. So I don't think this number really surprises anyone. But, you know, for me, I really like Joe Burrow a lot. So I'm happy for him. The only thing that's just a little odd to me is like, I just wonder how Patrick Mahomes feels. Like, you look at this list and you just see like all the players who are like the top five, and he's not on it. And he's the best player in the NFL. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. It's just, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't care, but that's the only thing that always stands out to me. What do you think about it?
I don't think he does. No, I mean, he made the decision to sign the contract that he signs. I think you can notice something and not care. I think he decided. Now, here's where it gets interesting. When you are not among the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, and a lot of that's timing. I mean, everybody knows they're going to get the next guy is going to be the highest paid guy. But when you're not among the highest paid guys in the league, and yet Chris Jones is watching the game from a suite, as we just talked about. So it's like the reason, and Patrick Mahomes not the first guy to do this. Brady did the same thing for all those years in New England until he stopped taking pay cuts. But if you're going to take less than what you're worth, it's under the guise of the organization spending that money elsewhere to keep this team together. So if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm not making a phone call to the organization saying, hey, guys, let's revisit my contract because I'm the best player and I deserve to be the highest paid player. It's, hey, guys, we had a wink, nod, handshake agreement that I would do what's best for the team. And my teammate is up in the suite waiting to get his money. And my wide receivers leave something to be desired. So how about we utilize these resources that have come from me filling this stadium and putting two more Lombardis in your lobby and making this the premier franchise in the league? How about we use some of that money to upgrade this team? Because I didn't take a pay cut just to take a pay cut just to save you money.
Facts. Yeah, I think to Michael's point, I think he's exactly right. Let's remember also Patrick Mahomes. Agent is Lee Steinberg, right? One of the greatest sports agents, you know, in the entire game when you think about it. And I think Michael's right. I mean, why we love Patrick Mahomes is because he's selflessness. Like, I mean, you think about what he does in the offseason to bond with his team, the chemistry he builds with his team. He wants to win at the end of the day. And I don't think money's an issue for Patrick Mahomes. You look at how much he's making outside and sponsorships and everything else. Now, yes, would he like to be the highest paid player? I'm sure. Does he deserve it? Yes, we could all probably say that. But at the end of the day, it's a business. And I think when Patrick Mahomes, when it comes back to it, when I think he feels like he does deserve that, and I think Michael hit it right. Brady realized he deserved that towards the end of his career, right? Because Brady said, I've done enough. I've been selfless. And he rightfully did so. But all in all, I feel like Patrick Mahomes is looking at this. He's honestly probably happy for these young guys. I mean, he really does seem like someone that really roots for the sport, you know, roots for the continuance of the sport. And again, you never see like hate or ill will from Patrick Mahomes. But all in all, I think, you know, we have to be happy for Joe Burrow. I mean, he's made us care about the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, for which a long time we had it. And I see this team a lot being in near Baltimore and covering the Ravens now. I mean, and now they're like, you know, the perimeter like team. You think about the AFC North, it's the Bengals right now in Baltimore. Joe Burrow is largely responsible for that. And mind you, he was able to get this contract done, not fully healthy. I mean, the big thing with, I remember covering Lamar, you know, the big thing was like, you know, Lamar is not healthy and how long is he going to play? And, you know, will he be able to have that endurance for the season? So all in all, I mean, I think Joe Burrow, he did it quietly, like he kind of has that Joey Cool thing doing. And like you said, it dropped, I think, at the perfect time. He deserves it. But Patrick Mahomes, at the end of the day, again, I don't think he's hitting worry button at all because he knows his time is going to come back. And I'm sure he'll be restructuring when need be.
Well, I'll tell you who is underpaid, Travis Kelce. We saw that
for
last
sure.
night.
Okay, for sure.
If he wanted to go to get a renegotiation after last night, he could. But on the Burrow front, a couple of things. One, I think this is another step in the rebranding, if you will, of the Cincinnati Bengals. There's been a lot of talk about the Bengals over the years on this here show. Obviously, they have a reputation throughout their history as being frugal, as being cheap, as having, at one point, the smallest scouting department in the league. You know, the Mike Brown of it all, you know, no naming rights on the stadium and that sort of thing for a long time. So, like, they've turned that page, and they've become one of the premier franchises in the AFC, if not the NFL. And it's not just the quarterback. It's not just Ja'Marr Chase. Across the board, they have a talented roster, and they are now perennial contenders. As Joe Burrow said, the window is my career. So this is a continuation of just the reimagination and the rebranding of that franchise as we know it. That's one. Two, it wasn't that long ago when Patrick Mahomes was looking up at Joe Burrow and like, oh, wait. You talk about like Patrick Mahomes not being able to beat Jared Goff. Ha ha, it's only been what, two meetings? But I think it's been two. But he really couldn't get past Joe Burrow until this past year's AFC title game, right? And so, you know, I think they were 3-0, if I'm not mistaken, at one point against him. So Joe Burrow could very well, at some point, surpass Patrick Mahomes, or at least it's a conversation. He could be one of the faces of the league. And lastly, it wasn't that long ago, Natalie, this was before your time, I remember getting ripped for saying Joe Burrow's rookie year, that very soon he would be the best quarterback in the AFC North. And that was not shade at Lamar Jackson, who I love. But a lot of my takes don't age well. That one did, if I may say so myself.
Why'd y'all
invite me on this show today?
Let
the record show. I was invited. I didn't come crash y'all party. I was invited. Let the record show. I don't want nobody thinking, right, like, why this dude got to come on the show getting in the way of the lady? They asked me to come. They asked me to come.
So y'all know. We did ask him to come.
We appreciate your perspective, Mike.
We'll be right back with Mike.
Because it's y'all show. It's not my show.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
We do things that have never been done, and that makes people uncomfortable. When you see a confident black man sitting up and talking his talk, walking his walk, coaching 75% African-Americans in the locker room, that's kind of threatening. Oh, they don't like that. But guess what? We're going to consistently do what we do, because I'm here and ain't going nowhere. And I'm about to get comfortable in a minute.
I would love to see what Dion looks like uncomfortable. I'm about to get comfortable. Oh, what's uncomfortable for you, Dion?
Exactly. Listen, you know, Deion Sanders, this week has been interesting to me, like from the game, leading up to the game last week versus TCU. Then after all the commentary, and you know, Jason and I were texting back and forth a little bit about it, because a lot of people have like mixed feelings, but you know, I'm rooting for Deion. Let me just start there. I am rooting for him and I want him to win, right? Because some of the criticism of him, and we spoke about this last week, it was like, some of it is just about it being Deion, right? Like some of it felt a little coded. Right. I think some people just want him to fail. And so I'm not for that. Like I want him to win and I want him to prove these people wrong. But now definitely after the win, definitely it was like, oh, you know, a lot of the like, yeah, see, y'all doubted him. And he made a lot of comments back at the media, like, do you believe? And I think all of that was just about the comments about Colorado. But I think that dates back to all the commentary about the HBCU and him leaving. And I just want to say, as much as I am supporting Deion now and I want him to win, that I don't want to conflate those two things. The way he handled his departure, it was still problematic. Jason, you've been on here. Mike, you talked about it a lot. We talked about it. We were critical of it. That can still be true. And also, we can still want Deion to succeed. Jason, I see a lot of hand gestures from you, so I'm going to let you go because it seems like you got something to say.
I love you guys. I love this so much. Look, two things can be true. Okay, I can think that Deion was dishonest. I can think that he disrespected HBCUs. I can think that he took advantage of cultural competence by saying that the Lord and Jesus brought him to Jackson State. I can say all those things are wrong. And I can like him as a cudgel to smack what is still one of the whitest sections of any form of football, which is coaching at the college level. I like the fact that he's there smacking heads. So I can dislike what he has done. I can like what he represents, but I can still say that, and I'm in the same category with you on this, I don't like how he talked to the press. I don't like this whole, you didn't believe in me. The press's job is not to believe in you, Deion. The press's job is to be critical, to analyze, and present a story. So his shenanigans seem great after one particular game. We'll see how he does throughout the rest of the season, but right now, I'm still conflicted.
Okay. But you know, the thing is, and I agree with you that the media's job, right, is to be objective and not to just be his cheerleader. But that's where we blur some of the lines, because I would argue that some of the media seem to not really be that objective. Like there might have been some other stuff going on.
The media's got a definition, not to cut you off, but a different definition than it used to be. Because a lot of the media play ball with Deion. the meat, you know, that's evolved quite a bit. But continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's just it. So it's just like, it's so blurry, and I don't want to talk about people's intentions, but I also understand why he was like clapping back at them, because it's just like, it was a lot of hate. It wasn't all hate, but it was a lot of hate because he had his cheerleaders and those supporting him. But there was some hate, and some of it was off-putting to me. And like, I just felt like, how do we know how this team is going to do? Like, we don't know. There's like 50 plus transfers. He's doing something we've never seen in college football. So I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt on this, and I'm gonna step back and wait and see what happens. What do you think, Kelsey?
There's a lot going on here. I mean, let's think about it. Deion Sanders is a personality, right? I mean, this game had, what, 7.63 million viewers. It peaked at over 10 million. And I think we need to take that with a grain of salt and also understand him as a coach, him as a father. And I think he does a lot of this because he knows what the media is going to react to. I mean, Deion did this at Jackson State, covered him at Jackson State, right, in his HBCU tenure. 27-6 there, and now at Colorado. And let's remember, they hired Deion for multiple reasons. I mean, not only were we watching Deion on the football screen, coaching on the sidelines, we had to watch him throughout commercials. So all in all to say, I think a lot of people, there is a lot of hate. Let's be honest. There was a video circulating online that went viral where we had a podcast host from Utah talking about Shedeur Sanders coming from a JUCO with his daddy. And I thought that was all types of disrespectful. And I'm talking as someone who, all of my aunts went to Jackson State University. I'm talking as someone who's lived in Jackson, the city of Jackson, Mississippi. And I think that's the disrespect that a lot of the media has. And let's also, I mean, we can talk through this through many different lens. I mean, Deion being a Black coach at a Power Five conference, that matters. As he said, Deion being unapologetically himself, that matters. You know, people feel like when you get to a certain position, they want you to be polite. They want you to be humble. And Deion is not that. He came in and took it by storm. Does he need to be that? No, I think he should be himself. There's a reason why players are transferring to go play with him. Obviously, his coaching style, it matters and it works. He did the same thing at Jackson State. Now, I won't get into the Jackson State thing because I feel probably different than a lot of y'all. I feel like there's a lot of hate there, and I've had this conversation. I was at the Brick City Classic this weekend watching Grambling take on Hampton University, and a large part of the conversation even there was, how is Deion in Colorado doing? And folks not wanting him to succeed because they still felt a way about how he left. And I'm like, why can't we just be happy for a Black man that, yes, was able to do well in an HBCU and move on? So all in all to say, I'll just say this. I want to see more of Deion. Obviously, his schedule is going to get a little bit harder. But I think what he's doing for college football is good. He's the most talked about man in college football. There was a poll that came out that Deion Sanders is being more talked about right now than Madonna and Eminem. And I know maybe they're not trending for the right. I mean, but just think about that power. I think there's a lot to say. So all in all, we're not your cheerleaders, Deion. But at the end of the day, we also don't have to rip him down. Let's see what he's going to do to continue to change the landscape of college football.
Go ahead, Jason. Then
Deion Sanders is the epitome of what all sports fans, and in particular Black sports fans, often face, which is like, I may not like you, but I need you symbolically to fight against a greater system, right? It's like root for Floyd Mayweather against Conor McGregor. You don't like Floyd Mayweather. He's done a lot of terrible things, but Conor McGregor may seem worse, right? It's like supporting LSU against Iowa, even though the coach is problematic. You make these sorts of ideological and philosophical choices where you may not like the person, but it's like, ugh, I hate this other side worse, and they're my best way to get at it.
Yeah, I mean, what Deion's doing for college football right now is crazy. I'm not even into college football last night, and he had me tuned in on Twitter. We were like, we're watching this as a family. I have seen nothing but content all week on Deion. This, the NFL, okay, opening game last night. And while, of course, we cover that all week, we had like a segment on Deion. So, and I'm seeing it on Instagram. I'm seeing it on Twitter, X, whatever we want to call it these days. Mike, he is a moneymaker. And if nothing else, you have to at least commend him for bringing eyes to Colorado, making them money, bringing eyes for college football as a whole. And if they keep winning.
The man who coined the phrase, look good, feel good, play good, they pay good, is underpaid because he's making all of us a lot of money. I mean, the thing about the amount of content that he's generating, he's underpaid in that regard. A couple of things. I'll do the Jackson State thing first, because I mean, I was very critical of Deion Sanders and the way he departed Jackson State for the same reason that I want him to succeed at Colorado, because I'm rooting for everybody Black. like as we all are. You know what I mean? Like we wanted him to stay at Jackson State and be a modern day Eddie Robinson. And then when he left like that, I own that. I said, look, do what's best for you. Go where you feel you're called to go. But I got a certain impression about his intentions at Jackson State. Did he handle business while he was there? Absolutely. Did he do a lot for HBCU sports and HBCUs in general? Absolutely. I just thought he was there for a longer haul. And that's on me. Do you? Having said all that, like, I've never been a big college football guy. Part of it was like, you know, I went to Loyola New Orleans. Back in my day, New Orleans didn't have this relationship with LSU that it now has. I was always more of a pro football guy, and I paid attention to college for the draft. I always despise the system of exploitation as it relates to college sports in general, but college football in particular, okay? So I just didn't really get down with college football like that. Deion Sanders got me checking for college football at a time when I hate college football more than ever, because instead of making the system more equitable for players in the NIL era, they are out here like robbing college football of every ounce of tradition, where the Atlantic Coast Conference is now the Any Coast Conference, where it's like I can't keep track of who plays who. I despise college football. But I'm checking for Deion, and I'm not alone in that. I will be watching Colorado-Nebraska this week. I would have never watched Colorado-Nebraska. Right. Rivalry game. I have not checked for Colorado since Cordell Stewart. Shout out to home team and the aforementioned Eric Bieniemy. Okay, and now here he is doing what he's always done throughout his entire career, is be excellent and captivate our attention. Love him or hate him, you cannot turn away from Deion Sanders. I don't know why people would root against him, because the same people rooting against him, to your point, Natalie, and I'll wrap with this, are the same people profiting off of him right now from talking about him. You have a take about Deion Sanders. People are clicking on your content because of Deion Sanders. People are tuning in to listen to you talk about Deion Sanders. So guess what? Thank you, Deion. Didn't love that you, I didn't like, what was it? I hated to watch you go, but I love watching you leave, because we out here getting clicks and views thanks to you going to Colorado and handling business so far. My only concern, Natalie, is his mouth writing a check that his players may not be able to cash, because it's one game against TCU. Inevitably, there are going to be struggles. Inevitably, it's the nature of the game.
Yeah. Right.
I just don't want to see it turn too ugly when it does at the kids' expense. Go ahead, Natalie. Sorry. That was more than I planned on saying.
No. I mean, look, exactly. It was one game, but Nebraska is probably a favorable matchup. They probably could get another win. They're now ranked. Right? The AP now ranked them. They weren't even before in the AP rankings. So.
Well, and they're more circled on people's calendars than they were before. Like, Jason was right. I ain't got to be a believer. Like, you know, I don't worship Deion Sanders. I don't worship at the altar of Deion Sanders. It's not my job to be a believer. However, it's like, if you had doubts before, they have removed them. And so now they were already a target because of Deion Sanders, because of Shedeur Sanders, because of Travis Hunter. Now they're going to be everybody's national championship game that they play if they weren't already. Are they ready to deal with the expectations that have gone from unbelief to now the talk of college football? That's what's going to be fascinating. But Deion Sanders, Colorado, and Caleb Williams, stories of college football for me.
Oh, yeah. Jason, I'm going to give you the last word. Oh, go ahead, Kelsey.
I was going to say really quickly, let's remember networks are fighting for these games. I mean, think about it. Fox Big Noon. I mean, we're all watching. Let's remember, that's not the top place that people watch football, but we were all watching, as Michael said, because of that. Then the next game after that, being on ESPN. And then after that, it's a question mark. Why? Because networks want Deion Sanders. They want the eyes that he's going to bring. And that's the power that he has at Colorado. I just wanted to quickly mention that. Sorry, Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, Jason, I saw you had a point, and I also just want you make your point, but I want you to also just
elaborate. The meme I saw online, right? A lot of people out there were hating. They thought it was going to be Bishop Sycamore High, and it turned out to be Remember the Titans. Okay? More power to Deion. I want to see it be something entertaining, okay? But it doesn't mean that I'm ever going to root for him, the individual. I'm just going to root for him as the symbol. And what I'd like to see is, if this team is successful, I want to see his coordinators get opportunities to be head coaches in other locations or step up to the big leagues. Because that ostensibly is what he claims he's about, and that should be the long-term goal.
Yeah. I think that, Mike, to your point just about whether they're prepared, look, it looks like definitely his sons, in general, the way he's grooming this team, he's grooming them in his image, right? To be prepared for this, to talk to talk the talk and be able to walk the walk, or to deal with what may come with that. So to be determined, but you know, his comment was interesting in the beginning where he's like, oh, you know, they see a black man, they're intimidated. I know that people don't like his bravado. And I know there's an obsession with people needing to be humble. And so I love that he screams in the face of that. And this team seems to scream in the face of that. And I'm looking forward to see what happens. Michael Smith, thank you so much for joining us
today.
We appreciate you.
Thanks, Michael.
We appreciate you. And Jason, my guy, you know, you got to come back and chop it up with us.
Appreciate you all.
Love you guys.
First Fridays.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Keep it up.
Kelsey, our girl Coco Gauff has made it to the U.S. Open final. She will be facing Aryna Sabalenka. And listen, I am so proud of Coco Gauff. She is the youngest person to make it to the U.S. Open final since Serena.
Our girl
what
Serena,
great company to be mentioned in. What great company to be mentioned in. I know. Look, I'm going to let you actually set this off because, I mean, you have it in your feed. I love Coco. I'm in love with Coco Gauff, I believe, is what you said in your feed. So tell us why, Kelsey, you're in love with Coco Gauff.
My gosh, I feel like it's just Coco's time. You know, I feel like so many of us, Matt, have been watching her for so long. You know, whether it was when she was 15 back in 2019, when she became the youngest qualifier in Wimbledon history. And then you talk about her now being, I mean, she's a baby essentially when you think about it. But I feel like we've finally seen her moment. We've been waiting for her to advance for so long. And you talked about it being mentioned an assistant in a sentence, Nat, with Serena Williams, who did it back in 1999 at the age of 17. And I love what she said too after. She said, you know, I appreciate everything that folks are telling me, but like, don't compare me and Serena. She said, that's my icon, my idol. And we know how great Serena is. So I love that she also has separated herself saying, yes, you know, I want to chase that green. And she said, hey, I even would have loved if I could have played Serena. But I think right now,
that's her only regret, she said.
Her only regret. And then I think when we see her now, though, we've just seen her blossom. We've seen her grow. And again, I just feel like we're finally witnessing just the evolution. I put on my Twitter the legend of Coco Gauff. So I just feel like it's been so fun to watch. Obviously, a lot of people rooting for her watching the U.S. Open. And shout out to the Americans, you know, that have went so far here in the U.S. Open. I know in my neck of the woods, a lot of people were sad about Francis Tiafoe that continuing on. You know, he's a local DMV guy. But all in all, again, I'm just happy for Coco. I think, you know, and I love it that she's unapologetically her. You know, I know we've talked about how she talked to the umpire. I'm pretty sure you guys talked about that on the show, Nat. But she's herself and she's winning her way. And then to do it, what was it? 40 shot rally. We had a protester, Nat. We had a almost 50 minute delay. I mean, talk about everything going on around you and you're still able to focus and get it going. So all in all, we are happy for you, Coco, and we want to see you take this one home.
Look, I was about to run over there and go let that protester know something. How dare you? Listen, she is much more,
interrupting
Coco
history
has much goodness. More grace than me because she's like, listen, I believe in climate change and you should stand up for your beliefs. So I can get that. Of course, I wish it wasn't during my past. match, but listen, don't be playing with Coco, okay? Like, you need to figure out a way not to do this during Coco, because you're interrupting a Black woman's moment. And we know that is also very important because of the way Black women are disrespected. So you pick another match, you pick another time. And yes, I agree, climate change is important, but I don't need you interrupting Coco's moment, okay? Having the nerve to glue his feet to the floor. What is wrong with this man?
She navigated it
and she won, and now she is going to the U.S. Open final.
Yes, her second career major final. I mean, you have to be happy for her. It's her time.
Yes. And on the Serena like comparisons, I just want to say, look, it's inevitable. This is what people do, and people are always looking for the next, right? Like, they do it all the time in basketball. Like, after Michael Jordan, it was like, is LeBron the next? And I'm like, who's next after? You know, they're incessant about it, and like, they've been searching for Serena's next, right? They did it, you know, Sloan, Naomi, shout out to Naomi, who was in the building last night, and she supports Coco. But they're gonna do that, and I understand with Coco the fact that she's so young, and she's doing this now. You know, it's like, I can see where 19. They're going. It also, it puts a pressure on her that she doesn't really need. So I like the way that she's been responding to all the Serena stuff. She's staying focused, but let's let Coco build her own legacy, because she will be a legend in her own right.
This is her moment. Let her have it. And like you said, I mean, it's kind of inevitable, but right now we're all focused on Coco. She's the one that's going to be putting the time in. She's put it obviously in the training and everything that she's doing. You know, even love the moment with her father after. But again, I just want this all to be about Coco, because this is the evolution. This is the next generation that we're seeing. You talk about how young she is, folks. 19. Absolutely. As we talk about the future of tennis, especially here in the USA. So I know all eyes will be glued to the screen, Natalie, this weekend.
For sure. All right. So let's keep it with the women, right? Because I feel like my beloved WNBA hasn't been getting a lot of love for me lately. But like, the part of me loves the summer when like we can really focus like all our attention on the WNBA, only because there's not really that much other in terms of sports going on.
And no love for baseball, Nat. You know, Rita would have a word.
Not for me. No. And for WNBA enthusiasts and like hardcore WNBA, they're like, whatever. Like, they don't care about the other sports. But for people like us who love sports all around and we like different sports, like, now we're struggling because like, I had football on last night while I'm watching Coco. And then I'm looking to see what happened in the games. And you know, but like, the WNBA has been so tremendous this year. They've been breaking all kinds of stats and metrics in terms of attendance and in terms of viewership. And now we have this dynamic MVP race that's going on, right? This three-headed monster of an MVP race. And it's incredible, because I'm just going to let you know that Asia Wilson is the pick for me. But and she seems to have moved up in the odds, you know, because Stewie was leading. Brianna Stewart was leading for like a long part of this season. But they were like sort of one and two. But Alyssa Thomas has really, really made a case lately and put her name. And I truly don't know who's going to end up winning it. I would not be upset at any of them winning it. But my pick is Asia. And I'm just going to keep it really basic and short. I'm very like, you're the best player on the best team in the NBA with the best record. Yeah. Also, she stepped up when Candace Parker went down. She had to step up even more. And I know that we kind of like talk about this team and their super team, the Liberty are a super team, and all the help and all that stuff. But like, their bench is really thin, and losing Raquana Williams, who we'll get to momentarily, like that also didn't help them, right? And so their bench is very thin. They rely heavily on like that starting five. Candace went down and she stepped up and she took on more, and I just, again, any of them are deserving and due, but Asia is my pick. What say you, Kelsey?
Yeah, you know, I feel, how lucky are we, as you said, that we have three greats right now that we're talking about right now in this MVP race, probably one of the tightest races, Nat, that we've seen. And I love that you gave Alyssa Thomas some credit. You know, Alyssa's somebody that I've had a chance to follow her career from University of Maryland College Park, where she still holds records, by the way, for that Maryland women's basketball team. And not just for the women's team at Maryland, but women and men's. And then just thinking about her getting drafted, going to Connecticut, the storyline being Connecticut being that a team that nobody was really talking about, Nat, at the beginning of this season. And we were all talking about the loss of Brianna. And all that to say, I mean, what she's been able to do, you look at her steals, her defense, what she's able to do at the rim. I mean, folks, it's not easy 30 to basically like triple-double, like that's not easy at all. And the fact that she's been able to do that. And like you said, I mean, Asia Wilson, you said it all. Asia Wilson is Asia Wilson. You know, we can go back to the 53-point game that, and I mean, that speaks in itself, you know, just her greatness and what she's been able to do. Stewie is Stewie. I mean, what can she not do? You know, like you said, we're just able to watch so much, you know, of her greatness. What was it, 900 points in a season? We just got to witness and watch. Yes. It's hard. It's tough. This is probably the toughest question that I've been getting on shows in the P race,
because you know, if you had to again, pick, who would it be? You gotta tell us,
Matt. You're doing this to me.
Yeah,
it's close. It's close between Asia and Stewie.
You're not going to come to your pick.
Since you did Asia, I will go with Breonna Stewart. I'll be the opposite of you. It's close. It's so close. But either way it goes, I will tell you, I won't be mad. I will not be mad either way that it goes, just because I think both of these girls have been balling. I mean, Stewart's second leading scorer right now, right behind Jewel Lloyd. I mean, there's so many things you could give to both of them, Matt. So at the end, but also again, just please don't forget Alyssa Thomas and her dominance on a non-superstar team, what she's had to do.
Yes. I mean, look, I think we're looking, and it's going to be probably a collision course for the Aces and the Liberty. So we're looking forward to that. But I before we go, I just want to mention, like, it was noted, or the news dropped yesterday, I want to say it was, that Raquana Williams, the charges have been dropped against her. And I want to make clear, they were dropped against her because the witness, the victim in this matter is not cooperating with the case. So the charges were dropped. Also reports that she wants to join the team. And we've talked about this incident in great detail, so we don't need to get into it. But I just want to say, I think Raquana needs to probably go to therapy and get some help. And right now the focus should not be on returning to the Aces. So we don't know what the final decision is going to be. We'll have to see what happens with the league and the Aces. Yeah. But I would be pretty disappointed if Raquana returns to the team.
Is able to go. Because this isn't the first time for her. I just wanted to quickly say that. It happened with her before, another domestic dispute incident when she was with the Sparks. So got to teach a lesson.
Yes, absolutely. We will be right.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm back, guys. More basketball coming. Kelsey.
United States. Let me cover my face.
Was ousted by Germany today. They're saying it's a shocker now. What's his name? The Olympian, the track runner. Oh my God, I just forgot his name.
Oh, Noah Lyles here.
Noah Lyles is probably saying, I told you so. I told you so. He is somewhere laughing.
Laugh.
I'm waiting to see what he's going to tweet and say, because it's like,
there you go.
So much.
This is all I see, these memes all over social media, like, hold yourself.
Listen, all I know is the USA, Kelsey, they better win that bronze medal game with Canada, because let me tell you,
we better get
something
on the podium. Yes, yes.
Let me tell you something. It will be a day of jokes. Like, look, I'm laughing. I'm roasting Steve Kerr. Germany probably has been the best team in the tournament. Yeah, you think, Steve Kerr? And he said, got them ready. If you guys watch this show enough, you know my disdain for some of the things Steve Kerr does. And so this does not shock me. This does not shock me at all that a Steve Kerr-led team lost and did not get the gold here. So we will see what happens. Kelsey, what are your thoughts on Team USA losing?
I mean, were we surprised, Nat? I mean, let's be honest. Folks really aren't even talking about this tournament going on, because nobody really cares about many of the players that are playing in this tournament, because we know it wasn't the top player. I mean, Anthony Edwards has probably been the top player that's been talked about, I'd say, most in this tournament.
And Halliburton.
And how, right. But all in all, Matt, I mean, of course, we know there was high expectations going in. We're not supposed to lose. We're the mighty USA, right? We're supposed to be the best. But at the end of the day, if you watch some of these games, I don't think the outcome did surprise you. I'm just going to be honest
Here's
with
the
you,
thing,
Matt.
Though. I'm not here for all this posting of Bale, of the players, and Steve Kerr. They should have won. You should not be losing to no Germany.
They had one job.
By Dennis Schroeder. But I'm going to say this, just to be clear. I'm joking. I'm laughing. Obviously, I want Team USA to win. They did not. But let's be clear, with all of these other international teams, it's their NBA players who are leading the teams. It's the players in the NBA.
Right, that's who they're playing again. But now I have to quickly
say, does have the best players in the world.
We do. Okay? We do. So we get to say that. But really quick, you're not going to win if you allow 25 second chance points, 15 points in the paint to Germany. And if you
can't rebound.
If you rebound.
Can't rebound.
Come on.
Yeah, so, Jackson, rebound. DP.
One job. Grab the ball.
Have a great weekend, y'all.
We've had
I don't
enough.
Want to hear nothing about Jaren Jackson Jr. again. Crazy.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.